The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. I cannot fail. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be praying for you, that the hand of God will come mightily upon you to empower whatever you are doing. So get set tonight. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Before you sit down, welcome to three persons that you've not met before and say something to them. Three persons you've not met before. You've never met. Find out your name. What is your name? And look at what I want to tell you. You are beautiful. It's so good to see you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. You are getting it. Just continue. Take your time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can now sit down. Don't collect number. Don't collect anybody's number. My side is all. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Hallelujah. Genesis. Chapter what now? Genesis chapter. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Hallelujah. One day, maybe next year we'll graduate from this chapter 1. Hallelujah. God is faithful. The God of all revelations. Hallelujah. The God of light. The God of understanding. Hallelujah. I think this is good. Unless we can make it better, but it's good now. We can work with it for now. Hallelujah. And so, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. And verse 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, every tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Shout amen. Amen. So I just have something very simple to share with you this evening. Notice, when God announced his intention for man. In Genesis 1:26, when he announced that intention, the very first thing he said to the man was to bless him. The very first thing God ever told man, the very first statement God ever made towards man. Because when he said, let us make man, he was talking about his intention. When he finished, he said, he blessed them. And he just said, let them have dominion. So the first thing, okay, that God did when he created man was to put a blessing on man. I say that again. The first thing that God did, okay, was to put a blessing on man. I know this can be better. I can't even hear myself again. Can you hear me? People at the back, can you hear me? Very well. Very well. Some are saying no, some are saying yes. Very well. Can it be better? Is it better now? Okay, we are coming. Don't worry, I'll still use the hand mic. I need to let my hand rest a little. Okay? And so, he put the blessing on them. Now, in that blessing, you find the original plan of God. In that blessing, you find the original way God wanted man to live on the earth. I already showed you that God wanted man to eat of the tree of life and all that, to believe in him. In that blessing, you find how God wanted man to exist on the earth. After he has taken the tree of life and is now in the image of God, God wanted him that when that happens, how he will keep living on the earth is to have dominion, to fill the earth, and to subdue it. I'm going to focus on that word, subdue, this evening. To have dominion, to fill the earth, and to subdue the earth. And that was the original plan of God for man. To fill the earth, and to subdue the earth. And you notice that in the original plan of God, up until Genesis chapter 3, the whole earth was programmed to respond to man. Remember I said that in the morning? The whole earth was supposed, was designed to respond to man. Look at this verse again. He gave him dominion over the fish of the sea. So the fish of the sea was designed to respond to man. Over the fowl of the air. Over the cattle. Over all the earth. Over every creeping thing that came upon earth. All of them were meant to respond to man. So man, remember, the purpose of every creation was man. Do you remember that? The reason God made everything was man. So all those things we are supposed to respond to him. If you're here in the morning, this shouldn't be strange to you. Everything, the earth, the birds of the air, the fowl, the cattle, everything, grass, everything was meant to respond to man. But then, when man fell in Genesis 3, like we saw in the morning, the whole earth became rebellious to man. Did I say that in the day? The whole earth rebelled against man. So God now told them in Genesis 3, he said, from now, the earth that was meant to bless you, will now begin to produce thorns for you. Will now begin to produce thistles for you. The earth will now be hard. He said, in fact, from now you will begin to sweat to feed. And so the earth became difficult. That's what I'm trying to say. The earth became difficult because of the fall of man. Let me put it another way. Things became hard on earth because man fell. So the original plan of God, man was just meant to have control over this earth, wanting whatever he wants. I'm going to show you a verse just when we'll be rounding up. So he was meant to take care of everything, control whatever. So things we are not designed to be had originally. But then in Genesis 3, man rebelled against God and the entire creation responded the same. All of them rebelled against man. So the ground began to fight man. I know what I'm talking about. Everything. And that's why you realize that Genesis 3 was what changed the entire course of human history. But you know something else? The coming of Jesus changed everything. I guess what I'm saying. So when Jesus came, one of the things, because of our time, I just want to rush this. One of the things Jesus did when he came, observed very closely, was that he restored authority to man. Did you observe that? That authority
was the original authority that God had given man in Genesis 1:26. So he can have control over everything. But by falling and by giving it to Satan, he handed over that authority to Satan. Are you aware of this? Yes. Are you aware of this? You know when Satan met Jesus during the temptation, he told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you, now listen, he said, I will give you the whole riches of this earth. He said, because they have been handed over to me. Look for that verse, Matthew chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look at verse, bless God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. In verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Are you still here? Let's look at this story in the Luke accounts. How many of you did your CRK? In the Luke account, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read together. All these what? All these will I give thee, okay? And the glory of them, for that is delivered. So he said, so who gave it to him? It wasn't God that gave him power. And Jesus didn't tell the devil that he was lying. Because he was right. In that fall, the control of this earth, because God gave man to have dominion, to control this earth. But by that fall, he handed over our dominion to Satan. So Satan is now telling Jesus, the creator of the whole world, that it has been given to me and I can give it to whoever I want. Put up like another translation of this, like NLT or something. Are you ready? Let's read together, everybody. I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. Satan is talking to Jesus. What audacity? And I thought Jesus would say to him, well, that's a lie. You don't have it. He didn't fight. Look at this verse. He didn't tell him it was a lie. He said, I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Now, verse 8. Jesus replied, you must worship the Lord your God only. So Jesus didn't fight what he said. Jesus told him, I will not worship you. Because actually, in that fall, the authority that man was meant to enjoy, all this control of the earth, the devil was never designed to rule this earth. Never. It was man that was meant to have dominion over the fish, the fowl of the air, everything, this earth, and the entire resources. I'm coming to that. But then, by the reason of that fall, the earth began to rebel against man, and Satan began to run things on this earth. So that's why when Jesus came, one of the first things he did in his death was to restore that authority to man. How did he do that? What was God's original plan in Genesis 1? That man will be his image. Or that him and man will become one. So what did Jesus do? The place of authority where he was seated, he brought man up to that place. That's why we now say that we are seated with Christ. Are you following me? So in making us to be like him and to be where he is, he gave us back that authority that God intended that man should have. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, the man in Christ has received the authority Adam lost. And I'm not talking about authority over your fellow man. Authority over this whole earth. When I'm done sharing with you today, you find out why Elijah could command rain not to fall, and he responded. Because originally, this whole earth was designed to respond to man. Are you following me? You find out why Joshua could tell the sun and the moon to stop moving. And he responded. Because this whole creation was made for man. So in that fall, man lost his authority, as we know. So when Jesus now came, Matthew 28 and verse 18, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, all authority has been given unto me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He now said, go. Why did he say we should go and do ministry? Because the authority that was once collected from man, Jesus has collected it. But not for himself. He now delegated it to man. Fulfilling God's original plan of dominion. Are you still here? So Luke 10 verse 19, Jesus talking to them. He said, behold, I give unto you power. Behold, I give unto you power to trample upon snakes and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy insult you. So what Jesus was preaching was not something entirely strange. Jesus was just declaring how God has always wanted this world to run. Are you getting the point? The plan of God originally is that man should exist in dominion. Dominion over, not over his fellow man. That's why I'm going to say something. Dominion or trying to control your fellow man is ungodly. I get the point. That's why slave trade was a terrible sin. And it's a terrible sin. And in any form where it is. That's why what the Bible teaches is not control. What the Bible teaches is submission. Now, listen to the word submission. When you see the word submission, the word submission is not the job of the one above. It's the job of the one under. So, I can only control you and talk to you if you willingly allow me to do that. That's submission. So, wives are told to willingly allow their husbands have a say. Members are told to willingly allow their pastors have a say. But if someone doesn't give that authority, you withdraw. You don't force it. I get the point. Because in the original plan of God, no man was meant to force anything on anybody. The authority man received was authority over this earth, not over fellow man. In fact, I will show you something. I don't know why I'm running ahead of myself. When you see control, I don't know why God, I didn't plan to talk about this. When you see control over fellow man, that thing is a product of a curse. The curse of Genesis 3. You notice when man fell, one of the things God said to the woman was, from now, you shall have the desire of your husband, and he shall have control over you. Genesis 3:16, put it up. So this idea of intimidation, I talked about the Nicolaitans. Do you remember that? Who remembers that teaching? It's fine. He said, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have the rule. So men having the rule over women, I mean, controlling them, dominating them, intimidating them, is not God's original plan. That's why if you're married here, and you talk to your wife anyhow, you're actually functioning under a curse, the curse of Genesis 3. Because the right thing is that even though there should be leadership in the home, you cannot lord it over people. It's not in God's original plan. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why we don't... So, it's now the wife or whoever is under that will now willingly say, I submit to you, because that's what God wants. Why did God say woman should submit to man? Because marriage is a picture between, you remember I saw it yesterday, picture of God and man, Jesus and the church. So the same way the church should willingly submit to Christ, the woman should do the same. And watch what Christ does. Christ does not force submission. He will just woo you. He woos us with the gospel. Until you agree to believe. Now, even after you believe, some days he can lead you. Wake up and pray. Now I'm talking to you. Wake up and pray. He says, sir, you keep sleeping. Now, he's not going to come to your room and begin to flog you. And let me say this to you. Anybody that tells you that God called him and he refused and God began to punish him is under demonic oppression. It is the devil that oppresses men like that. God doesn't force his will on people. Sir, he doesn't. He will keep persuading. You will sleep, he will tell you. You come to church, pastor will tell you. I get what I'm saying. You go to pray, he's talking. You say you will never pray again. You turn on the radio, somebody is talking. There is someone listening to me right now. God is calling. He's running away. He's not going to force you. He's just trying to talk you into it because he wants your will. I get what I'm saying. But do you know that if you eventually say no, nothing will happen. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this evil world. And nothing happened to Demas. Demas to Arego, and just that, by the time we now meet Jesus, you now answer to him. Amen. God doesn't control people. He doesn't force his own people. He controls us. Why does he control us? Because we gave him the will, the opportunity to control us. That's what many people say, don't be in any church where they're controlling you. That's not entirely correct. I know this works you are hearing. Hear me out. Don't be in any church that controls you. It's not correct. Don't be in any church where they're lording it over you. That's what the Bible teaches. But if you look at the word, should I talk? The word pastor is the word poimen. The word poimen is shepherd. A shepherd controls sheep. Is that not true? Does the shepherd say to the sheep, well, wherever you want to go, I just want you to know that I want the best for you. Just go, make sure you return, promise me. So there is an element of control in pastoring. Just that control, hear what I'm going to say. That control first must be willing. It must be freely given. You must be given the permission to do it. Number two, that control must be within the boundaries of the word of God. Nobody has the right to control it to do anything that's not God's word. But you see, if you are telling lies, and I say you should stop telling lies, and I insist you must stop telling the lies, I'm controlling you and I'm very correct. Once I'm controlling within the boundaries of the word of God, I am a correct person to control you like that. Say amen. You dress anyhow and come to church, and I say, don't ever dress this way again. He said, why would they tell me what to do? I'm controlling you well. God should applaud me for being a control freak. He said, you can't tell me how to dress. It's my body. All these pastors, church killed Nigeria. They tell people how to dress. What were you expecting when you're coming to church? You came to be controlled. That's what pastor. You came to be shepherded. So we should be able to tell you how to live. How to talk. Now, there is now limitation to that control. Now, when it has to do with personal choices, we cannot make it for you. That's control going too far. We cannot now say, see the place you must live. See the person you must marry. But we can guide you through it. You see, you see this marriage thing? If God helps you to get it right with marriage, he has helped you 75% of every help he will give you on earth. Let me say this to you. I don't want to share some personal stories. But listen, any day you want to go to a certain place and someone, your father that cares about you, keeps telling you, you better turn back. You're going to get into trouble. And there are some mistakes you cannot afford. You know, if you make a mistake and choose the wrong clothes, you can change it. Seller. Seller. If you choose the wrong clothes, you can change it. Just think about it. There's something that if you choose, he says, can't I change it? See, all these fights of, if I marry him, I'll divorce him. I'm not even going to get into the Bible. Go and ask every divorcee. It's not well with them. Divorce is a difficult thing. Apart from sin or no sin, to go through it alone. Now, people that are going through it, I have some of my people I'm pastoring who are going through divorce, and I know what it is like. I know how I'm helping them go through it. But it's something you cannot afford to do. Especially when you met Jesus before you got married. I know what I'm saying. Now, when we begin to insist, I want you to pray for 3 months before you choose to marry. He said, why is he controlling you? Why won't he control you? we must control you to pray for 3 months. Do you know why? Now hear me. The reason we must force you to do it is because when you, if you eventually marry and marry wrong, you will still bring the problem to us. And be disturbing us every 2 a.m. in the midnight. Wake up and pray. Somebody's been beaten. We can see, we will control you, sir. You will pray. I swear. I'll force you. Because no matter how you want to look at it, now we go still carry the thing. I'm telling you, I've seen cases that I know these things are avoidable. Avoidable. And some people, I try to get them to pray and they get angry with me. Some have even played me. Real life story. As I'm praying. How do you know I'm not praying? I'm praying. There's no problem. If you don't want to be pastored, don't be in a church. If you want to be pastored, then be properly pastored. Just like we come talking about marriage, away from marriage, now, life generally, that some people will insist. The Bible says if you don't work, imagine Paul, he said there's no control in pastoring, where Paul said, if any does not work, let him not eat. In fact, Paul went as far as telling people you should not eat with. That there are people that should invite you to eat with, you say no. He told if any brother in church is lazy and is not working, don't eat with him and don't call him to eat with you. Now, Paul said that. I said there's no control. What is the control? Paul went as far as telling Timothy, you see these names, Hymenaeus, don't talk to him. Philetus, don't talk to him. Philetus, Alexander. The coppersmith. So most times people don't know that they are not ready to be pastored. When you want to be pastored, there is a limit to where your pastor cannot cross. Obviously. That's if he's a good pastor. That is, he cannot choose for you. But if he's talking to you within the boundaries of the word of God, that control is necessary and is right. All this mental health game, all of you are playing all over the world. At least once your mental health is affected. Let me even say this to you. As a demon walking on the earth, masquerading itself as mental health, you can't correct a child again because his mental health is affected. Trauma. So any man of God that is online now preaching on how to survive trauma, how to survive mental health, we trend. Because that's what people want to hear. You are traumatized. Any small thing. Do you even know the meaning of the word trauma? You guys just like using big words. Do you know what is trauma? The day you will see trauma, you will not say you are traumatized. It is people around you that will be saying, oh. You are not traumatized. And you see, the way people throw us around was like depression. Why is it so easy because I'm depressed? Do you know what is depression? Half of the people you know that they say they are depressed, I've never been depressed. They're just excited. To use big English, I'm just depressed. Oh, but you wake up and you're not feeling so good. Everybody, happens everybody once in a while. Which one is not feeling so good? You say, I'm depressed. There are days you wake up, you don't have money, you don't feel good. You're not depressed. You're not depressed anyway. Stop throwing big words around. Teachers that are in primary school and secondary school can tell you what I'm saying. You try to correct any small child, the parents will come. You are messing with his mental health. We are trying to copy Oyibo. I see the kind of children they are raising. Children who grow up and decide not to be male or female. That's where we are going to Nigeria because we are giving too much liberty. There is liberty in Christ. But there are some things in Christ you are not permitted to choose. For instance, the Bible said, thou shalt not lie. He didn't say, do you want to lie or not? The Bible said, thou shalt not fornicate. He didn't say, do you like it or not? For instance, the Bible said, you're a man. He didn't ask whether you like it or not. You need to realize what I'm saying. Now, I've left my topic entirely, but I wanted to see what I'm saying. There is control, oh. Once we are controlling within the boundaries of the word of God, we are not wrong. Take us to Facebook. It's fine. Say, I was in this church, any small thing, they tell you, before you travel, they say, you must pray. You must pray. Imagine if you have to pray for travel. Some things are just there. I know there are people messing up with the pastoral ministry, but guy, you should know, you should be able to define words clearly. Every small thing is not trauma. Every small thing is not control. Every small thing is not mental health. What's wrong with you? Every small thing, I'm not feeling fine. There are times we have to insist. Listen, the Bible said, no discipline is sweet when it is offered. So if you're not happy that I corrected you, I'm doing a good job. You shouldn't be happy. If you're happy after correction, I didn't do it well. Hebrew 12, no discipline is sweet when it's given. If I tell some correction I've received in my life, you think whether the man likes or whether he hates you. And I was talking to the pastors. That was on Thursday. I said, one of the things you should be careful about is when you are corrected. When people are corrected, it's an opportunity to test their hearts, especially when the correction was not served good. You know what I said? When you are corrected, it's an opportunity to test the state of your heart. You know, when I woke up to you and say, hey, why are you late? Don't be late again. Oh, next time you wake up early and you prepare and come out, you say, yes, sir. Say, she corrected me in love. That's nonsense. I didn't correct you. I just advised you. I correct you. That's not, you know the difference. Correction, instruction, it's not supposed to be sweet. The only thing is, Bible said, it produced godly sorrow in the Corinthian church. So Paul knew they were sorrowful. And he said, it's okay. Once that sorrow led them to repentance. It's fine. But in our generation, pastors can't correct again. You can't tell anybody what to do. Everybody's living their life. Anyhow. That's why if you're like that, this is not your church. For real. You say, why are you talking this way? Because one day, I was talking about it in the morning, we'll stand before Jesus. Guess one of the things Jesus will ask me. He'll ask me about you. He might ask you, how did you win souls? He will ask, he say, you beat one by one. This is why you failed in his life. Do you know the error? Because we are all going back. God was talking to me recently about the error. I don't know why I'm saying this. The error of Eli. Just recently, God was talking about that. And even I was going to talk about it here. The error of Eli. The man never corrected his children. The error of David towards Absalom. Bible said there was nothing Absalom ever did that was wrong to David. Everything was right. And there are many pastors who are in that error today. And members like them because they are pampering your emotions. You have to enjoy correction when we serve it. Say amen. Amen. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's what the Bible said. So what led me to that is the fact that in Genesis 1, God never intended that man should rule over man. Man ruling over man or dominating man is a consequence of Genesis 3. However, I did not say that God never intended that man should submit to men. Because even before the fall, God already created an Eve that will submit to Adam. Are you following me, everybody? So submission is in God's original plan. But dominating men, lording it over men, was never in his plan. That's why I want to talk to leaders. I've been talking about it, so let's just flow. When you are given an opportunity to lead people, make sure that you are leading them from a place of love, and make sure you are leading them within the boundaries of the word of God. Anything outside that, you are becoming a Nicolaitan. Try to control people outside the word of God. Are you know what I'm saying? So I don't try where. Make sure you are leading people well. Lead people well. Lead them with love. Lead them within the bounds of the word of God. Don't try to lord it over them. Even husbands, I say to them, your wife is going to submit to you. Quite all right. But submitting to you is not being your slave. Don't you have sense? And if you're a husband, you're an intending husband, and you've planned to always use this term towards your wife, submit to me. The Bible says, man, submit to woman. See, you have a problem. What you are trying to do, you are trying to use the word of God to emotionally blackmail your wife to accept what you are doing. Oh, hallelujah. Say, even the Bible says, submit to me. Okay, tell us, let's talk. Which one is the small thing the Bible says, submit to me? You have evil motives. That's why you're always facing that. It's not necessary. If you are doing Bible study, we can teach from there. But then, any small quarrel, even the Bible says, submit to me. Why are you like that? And so we are going back to the original plan of God. He gave him dominion, but did not give him dominion over fellow men. He gave him dominion over the best of the air, the power of the best of the air, yes, and the earth generally. So man was meant to have dominion. So when Jesus came, he restored that authority to us. Now, watch this. You will find out that even the people that believed in Jesus before he came, in a promissory note, people that believed in his coming, all of them demonstrated this same authority. I get the point. Now, many examples I can show you. I already mentioned Elijah. Let there be no rain. How come rain listening to a man? That was the original plan of God, that man will have the rule over this earth. So by that, their faith in Jesus, even though he had not yet come, that their faith in Jesus gave them that authority that God originally wanted Adam to possess. Are you following what I'm talking about? This is the reason why Daniel could enter the lion's den and the lions could not move. Because normally creation should respond to man. Are you following what I'm talking about, everybody? In the end that day, Daniel was there. Lions, they looked at themselves and they were smiling. There are miracles in the Bible that are mind-blowing. Lions then. How did they even gather those lions into that den? Just like zoo. That's the only way you can understand lions then. Have you gone to a zoo before? Been to a zoo? Proper zoo. Not so you can see goats. It's not... Who has been to a proper zoo? It's not good to go and see goats and cow. At least have you gone to beat a poultry? Have you been to a zoo? Not a farm. Where you see lions, you see tigers. Imagine three lions inside a cage and then they throw you in there. And they were throwing lion in or Daniel in and he knew there was something about him. They dropped him in there, in that lion's den, and nothing happened to him. They came out the next day. In fact, he was lying down on the lions. Back to the original where God planned the earth to be. That the creation should respond to man. They took these other guys, put them into fire. Nothing happened to them. Because all those things were meant to respond to you. Joshua came, saw the sun, and told the sun, don't move again. He wasn't so mysterious because the sun initially was created for man. God doesn't need sun. It is man that needs sun. Because some of the plants that man would eat will need the sun to survive. Are you following what I'm talking about? So if you understand what God planned for this earth, this whole creation was meant to respond to man. That was why immediately man fell, the creation crumbled too. Did you get what I'm talking about? And so, the plan was, even people that believed Jesus in the prophecy notes, they got to enjoy it. Isaac got into a land, they say there is famine in the land. Famine means that the earth will not produce. Isaac planted in that same land. And the earth began to respond to him differently. Oh, I get the point. I can show you how you can defy Genesis 3. Verse 16 to 19. You can defy that particular order. That order of your curse. The earth is cursed. You can defy it. Even living in a cursed world. Yes, the earth will be restored later like I showed you in the day. But this life that we've received, this authority, can make us have a taste of the life to come. You know, in that life to come, no sorrow, no pain. We can begin to have a taste of that by this authority we have in Christ Jesus. Yes, let me say something. The earth isn't redeemed yet. We are in a fallen world, so let me even make things bad for you. Things will keep getting tougher and tougher on earth. Do you know why? The earth is deteriorating. Remember I showed you in the morning. Things will keep getting bad. Expect it. I feel what I'm saying. Yes, it will keep happening. But then, we've been redeemed. So, even though we are on earth, the earth can be reducing and deteriorating, and we can begin to live the life God planned for us from the beginning while we are still in this fallen world. Are you following what I'm talking about? So in my note I said, we are redeemed so we can enjoy a life, away from Genesis 3:16-19. Put over Genesis 3. Look at it. Let me show Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly. Now this I will is the wrong religion. It's not God doing it. This was the consequence of what they brought upon themselves. I've taught from here many times. Greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. So the idea of, so do you think that in the original plan of God, that God planned that when you want to give birth, a woman will just die? Or she'll be shouting. Complications. All these complications of womanhood was not there in God's original plan. That's why you should begin to trust the Lord. That's why I tell husbands, once your wife gets pregnant, you have 9 months to speak over her life and the life of the baby. Every day. Every day. I don't believe that someone in Christ who is well taught should allow the wife die during childbirth. It was not in the plan of God originally. Are you getting the point? In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. It's not in God's plan. That's why when the Israelites began to walk with the Lord, one of the promises he made them, he said, there shall be no miscarriage. Now, listen. Look for that scripture for me. He didn't just say miscarriage for man. He said, even for animals. He said, none of your animals will miscarry. Oh, are you following me, somebody? Because that was God's original plan. It's not God's plan that one will have a child and lose the child. That's not what God intended. It was the fall. Have you found it? Or should I use my notes? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the technology has helped us. So you can make notes and save them on iCloud or your Google Drive. Are you aware? And keep them there safe. So whenever you want them, you can easily just search and they come out. Some of you that do some studies, you do a study on healing, document them. So that when the need arises, because the need will arise one day. Why would the need arise? It's not because God is wicked, because you are in a fallen world. I showed you in the morning, right? Say, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. Pull up another translation, like NLT. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Let's go. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you full, long lives. Long, full lives. No miscarriage. Another translation? No miscarriages. None shall lose their young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. There is nothing like barrenness. I don't think it exists. Let me say this to you. The only person in the Bible I read of that died barren. You know her. What's her name again? Is it Abigail or so? Who knows Abigail? That is Saul's daughter. Is that Abigail? Milk, something like that. Hey, you know her. And that's because she fought again. You know, there are people you don't play with. She was insulting David and all of that. Apart from that, every other barren in the Bible, from Sarah to Hannah, from Hannah to Elizabeth, to every one of them, not one person died without having a baby. Even Rachel. And that's why this fear that women have, what if I get married and there is no whatever, forget about it. The idea of complications for the woman is actually a product of Genesis 3. The original plan of God, it was not meant to be so. I told you a story. A lady went into surgery before her marriage. Told the story here. And they removed 2 of her ovaries. And the husband-to-be was there. Both believers. Faith men. Are you following me? And the doctor said to him, who are you? Are you the brother? No. Are you the father? No. Who are you? Say, I'm the fiancé. The doctor took him aside. I said, let me encourage you. She can't have children again. 2 ovaries gone. The man said, okay. Said he went home and prayed. And the Lord said, no problem. Go ahead. I endorse this. Today, they have 2 children. Both of them are graduates from Covenant University. It's not like... And the man, the doctor saw them. You know the problem? I didn't say new ovaries you are created. There was no ovary. I'm telling you, I heard this story from Shobedeko himself direct, the Oyedepo sons. No ovary. The man saw them many years after and said, you guys are married, yes, I presume that There are no kids. And I said, on the contrary. Because the Creator has spare parts for everything He made. When Toyota makes a car, they have spare parts for every the car they made. So if one of your eyes is damaged, he can replace it. I get what I'm saying. There is no womb. I've seen cases where there were no wombs and prayers went on and the womb was created and you carry a baby. I also see cases where prayers went on, no womb was created, but the baby was formed. There are things you cannot explain. It's called miracle. And you better stop doubting miracles. Because in the original order of God, you are meant to be having everyday miracles. It's just that if man did not fall, we wouldn't have been seeing these things as miracles. I get what I'm saying. We would have just been controlling things, calling things that be not as though they are, and they come to be. And that's what God wants to do for you. That's where God has brought us back to. You must learn to use that authority. You know, we call them miracles now because, you know, a lot has happened. There has been the fall. Our mind has been messed up. We were created originally to have dominion over this earth. That's how God planned that we're going to live on this earth. So look at Genesis 3:16. Complication of womanhood. Lordly to over all, as I've mentioned that. A difficult life. He said, thorns and thistles to will it produce for you. That's what God's original plan. All this suffer ahead. Yes, we are in a fallen world, so you have to walk. But God never planned. They're going to labor and have little to show for it. I don't believe it's in God's original plan. In fact, if alone you observe the garden God created, as described in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you will know that God never planned lack in that garden. Never. God never planned that they will be struggling, and before they eat, they have to. It was when they fell, He said, from now, look at verse 19. He said, you will eat from the sweat of your face. In the sweat of the face shall thou eat bread. Now, if this is a result of a fall, and we've been saying that Jesus came to reverse the curses that came upon man, why would you believe that He reversed every other thing but didn't change this particular situation? That's why you are not meant to die broke. I tell you, you are not supposed to fail. Now, listen, what did God say to me? Because I saw subdued the earth. I said, I'll talk about that today. I read it, have to know, I said, wow. I will subdue the earth. The Lord said, that wasn't an instruction. He said, that was a blessing. You didn't get it. It wasn't an instruction. I'm not saying, hey, subdue the earth or come. It was, I bless you. So it carries impartation. Every man, every child of God carries a blessing that enables him to subdue the earth. Are you what I'm saying? Every child of God. It's not like an instruction. It's a blessing. God bless them. Just like when you say God bless them and say be fruitful. Be fruitful means have children. Every human being, especially when you're now coming to Christ, you're empowered to have children. Yeah. It's a blessing. If it's not happening in your life, it's an anomaly, sir. And that's what I'm going to say to you, friend. You need to know what God intended from the beginning. And listen to me. You better learn how to run this earth, or this earth will run you. This earth. You better learn how to run this earth, or this earth will run you. There are demons that rule the earth. The day God permits me, I'm going to teach extensively on this statement I made. There was something that happened at Tower of Babel that we don't talk about a lot during Tower of Babel today, but let's leave it for now. Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. Very powerful, but let's leave it for now. Demons rule this earth. Spirits control this earth. And so, if you don't know how to run this earth will run you. And when I mean this earth, I mean demons will run your life out. And that's why I'm going to tell you, under the anointing of God, every struggle in your life has just come to an end now. Every struggle. You see, if the order that's been in your life is that you struggle, I heard the Lord say, delays. There are people that in your life, every time you find out what others are getting, you will eventually get. But it should have been delayed for long before it eventually comes. That order has ended. Now, I'm going to speak, and I am speaking to every force of nature to respond to you now. Every force of nature to respond to you now. To work this out in your favor. In the name of Jesus. Where there has been continuous struggle, because I'm seeing someone, you are in the midst of plenty. I mean, where you are, everybody is making it. You guys are doing the same thing. Everybody is progressing. All your friends, saved, unsaved. But it's like you are in the place, the midst of plenty, and you have little. That has ended. Amen. I command this earth to respond to you now. Amen. I command resources to respond to you now. Amen. I command the things of this world to respond to you now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down first. You are coming. They will respond to you. So since we have the life of God, that blessing is still valid in our lives. That Genesis chapter 1 blessing is still valid. Let me read Genesis 1:28 with Amplified Classic. I just feel like praying already. Genesis 1:28. Everybody watch Amplified Classic. This will change your life. Are you ready? And God blessed them and said unto them, be what? Multiply, fill the earth, and what does it mean to subdue the earth? Read the parenthesis. Using all his vast resources in the service of God and man. So subdue the earth is use every resource of this earth to serve God and serve man. Oh, every resource of this earth is available to me now. Every resource of this earth is available to me now. Using all his vast, because when God created this earth, he knew there were vast resources. Every resource of this earth, using all of it, hakakombrataka. Every resource of this earth, that's why I tell you people, I don't believe God intended that from the beginning we shouldn't have. He told Adam, as I'm creating, use every resource of this earth. In other words, everything on this earth is available for man's use.
For me to fail.
Because my God cannot fail, I cannot fail.
Hold on first, hold on. Yes.
Yes. I cannot fail.
Woo!
Karabata lava
shataya.
I cannot fail.
Yes.
I cannot fail. Oh.
For me to fail.
For me to fail.
God has to fail.
God has to fail.
Because my God.
Because my God cannot fail. I cannot fail.
Say, I cannot fail.
I cannot fail.
Aya.
I cannot fail.
Le combra da la coda bayata.
For me to fail.
using all his resources. Now, I want to say it again. That was not an instruction. That was a blessing. When I was talking about blessing, instruction. Instruction or command is, I instruct you, go and succeed. Blessing is, I empower you. That is an empowerment in the life of every believer to use the vast resource of this earth to serve God and to serve man. That's why every time he hears say things like, the reason you make money is for ministry. This is what we're talking about here. He said, God wants to give you the entire resource of this earth so you can now use it to serve him and serve man. Ha ha ha. Turn this mic on for me. Come back. Subdue the earth is a blessing, not just an instruction. Be rich is an instruction. I want you to be rich is an instruction. But walking up to you and handing a check over to you, it's no longer an instruction. It's the I've given you the thing. So it's not subdued yet. Can't begin to fight and subdued yet. I bless you to subdue the earth. Using all these vast resources. Mekorata. Memere gombra de shata. So, if I have to give my closing thoughts, if I begin to pray like a mad person, because I'm going to pray, because every time you see things going wrong in your life, remember this verse. You are out of God's original plan. I get the point. That's why every time I see my life and I see failure, I know something is off. There is a virus. Remember yesterday, working in my system. There's a virus in my system for something to be going wrong. Look at it. The whole earth should respond to the believer. When God was talking, he said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He wasn't just saying, what is he doing with it? When he says it is mine, he was referring to the believer. It belongs to the believer. The believer should have control over the vast. Let me ask you a question. Simple question. I want just a very simple question. Who puts gold under the earth? Who puts diamond there? Who puts petrol there? Now, why did he do all of that? I get the point. Who puts all these things? Who puts all these things there? Who created trees and gave them fruits? Who created all of these things? Who created the resources of this earth? Then why did he make them? Everything, you remember again, was made for man. Go to Genesis. Oh, I thought we were going to pray just now. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Look at how Moses carefully described the river. Verse 10. Genesis 2 verse 10. Mele pregede de bashata. Now, this is the original earth. Watch. A river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four river heads. Come on, King James. The name of the first was Pishon, which is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Go to NLT. The original earth God created, there was already gold. Now, what Nakowa? See the next verse. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin, only stone are also found there. So the first earth God created, there was gold. So why was there gold? Listen, I'm not attempting to make you become very materialistic, but if you end up small in this life, you are going to make heaven. You are going to enjoy a new earth. But you walked outside God's original plan for your life. Because there is an empowerment to be big. Let me close. Every time, immediately after the fall of man, God always left. Listen to what I'm going to say. All people that believed him, he always used them to prove this very point. Look at Abraham. Are you what I'm talking about? Look at Abraham. Remember I told you yesterday, God wanted men to be priests, man to serve him forever. He used the tribe of Levi to illustrate that. God always had people he used to illustrate his original plan. See Abraham. See how wealthy the guy was. See Isaac. See Jacob. See the children of Israel. Oh, Karataboka. You know we are in a fallen world. Egypt was a bad nation. Yes, in that land of Egypt, they had the choicest part of the land. That's super prophetic. That you can be in a fallen world and be in the choicest of places. So he used them to show that even though there is now a fall, man that believes can still have abundance. They walked through the wilderness where there was nothing, yet lacked nothing. When they needed food, manna fell from heaven. When they needed water, water came from the rock. When they needed anything, it was provided. When they needed meat, meat came. To prove and show us again that you can be in this fallen world and still have control over the resources of this earth. So Moses will speak to rock. Rock will produce water. Why? Earth was meant to respond to man. Moses even took it a step further and spoke to the earth, and earth opened up and swallowed people. I'm telling you, if you understand this, I'm telling you, this whole earth is not to respond to you. That wasn't good, but he did it, sir. He said, if you guys have rebelled against me and against the Lord, he said, you shall not die naturally. He said, the earth shall open up. Immediately he spoke, the whole earth opened. Because these guys understood that it's Moses that wrote Genesis. That's what you are talking about. Moses. The man wrote, everything we are reading, he wrote it. So he knew that this earth was originally meant to respond to man. So when he was speaking to the earth to open, he knew the earth cannot say no. God gave the man crazy revelation. So he penned it down. And revelation is to happen to you. So you can call those things that be not as though they were. That's why, you know, money is part of the resource of this world. That's why, you see, we can speak to money and they come. Just like that. If there is nothing like running this earth by the power of God, there should be no me. I run my finances by the power of God. Ogumba. Yeah. You can come around me. Hallelujah. One of the first things my wife found out about me when we started cutting, you know, was that this guy does not have any plan except God. I told that player, I said, see, I don't know whether you can see me as Pastor Henry that is very rich. I'm not like that. The only way I run my finances is that I pray to God. And she cut it very quickly. So every time everywhere just took, I say, let's pray. In Jesus' name, we pray, we release finances. Angels, go bring in the funds. Demons, take your hands off. In less than 2 days, money will show. You can run this earth. Now, it's not because I'm a superman of God. It's simply because there is an original plan God always had that you should walk in. You are not meant to fail. You are not designed to fail. No, you don't. I say you are not designed. You are not programmed. You know what programming is? When God was programming, he didn't program you. He didn't know that you can never fail. You are the one that knows that you can fail. Ayakora. When the this phone was programmed, it was programmed to make God. If you tell Apple now, I have a phone that is not an Apple phone, iPhone 13 Pro Max, it's not making God. Say, eh? They'll tell you, bring it. They are surprised. They are surprised that it's not making calls. Because it was programmed to make calls. God is surprised that you cannot succeed. Because he programmed you never to fail. That's how I see it. Some of you are surprised when you succeed. God is actually surprised when you fail. Nobody here is permitted to earn small. You are forbidden from ending small. There is a blessing upon your life even before you were created, that you are meant to subdue this earth. You now came into the world and became born again, accept inside the life of Christ, became one with God, walked in the blessing that God gave Adam ahead of time. Come on. I want you to leave this meeting with a consciousness of the blessing. I was given this earth to subdue. So how can this earth be subduing me? You see the prophets of old that understood I'm talking about subduing the earth, they went as far as speaking to elements. Have you seen this verse in the Bible? Earth, hear the word of the Lord. Then that is my childless. Can you read your Bible? This guy should speak to the earth. Hakorataya. This whole earth was meant to respond to you. And let me say something. Hear what I'm going to say. Occultic men know what I'm saying. You know, occultic men pray with moon. They talk to sun. Have you observed that? They know. What they're trying to do is that they're trying to counterfeit what God made. So you see them program, project this into the sun, into the moon. They talk to all this creation, all this. You get the point? All this, you know, some of this, all these astrologers, that's witchcraft. Yeah. But they're trying to talk to all this, talk to the sun, talk to the moon. I don't know why I mentioned astrology now. I hope you know you are not, what's that thing they used to say? You are not Capri Guinea. Capri Sun. You are not any of those things. You are not, give me the names now. Taurus. What else? Leo. You are not any of those things. Those things are things that people, occultic men, came up with, and they look at it and tell you, because you are born on so-so day, this is how you should be behaving. Who are they to tell me what will happen to me? So people that are born this time, their relationships normally fail. They hardly have a good mind. Have you seen all those things? Who are they? What did the word of God say unto you? And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. He said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. All these other stories, I'm Leo. Our relationship normally fail. I'm Taurus. We normally die early. I'm this. Around this time of the year, they normally fall sick. Who lied to you? Who bewitched you? Who did not show you the image of God? Who lied to you that God programmed that you should be like that? These guys they try to speak, to use what God created to manipulate it. You are the one that is meant to take charge. From this day, as the day breaks every day, it is a new dawn of God's favor upon your life. As the day breaks every day, a new dawn of God's favor upon your life. As the day breaks every day, everything begins to work in your favor now. As the day breaks every day, struggle and lack has ended over your life now. As the day breaks every day, the sun will bring you good things. As the day breaks every day, the days of struggle has come to an end now. In the name of Jesus, raise your hands up. From now, wherever your hand touches, we blossom. We blossom. We blossom. Stand to your feet. Pray like a man person all over this place. Elababa rababa 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 shataya. You should be angry now. Everything that's not been working well in your life, that's a deviation from the natural order. That's a deviation from the divine order. I command your health to respond. I command your finances to respond. I command your life to respond. To get back in shape. To get back in shape. To get back in shape. Hey, in Jesus' name. Listen, you will pray now. Psalm 115 and verse 16. The heaven is the Lord. The earth has he given to the sons of men. This earth is yours. The resource of this earth, yours. The dish of this earth, yours. Can I show you one scripture to pray with? Psalm 67 and verse 5. Revelation is happening. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Come on. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and our God shall bless us. I command the earth to yield her increase to you now. And let crop go back to verse 6. The earth shall yield her increase. Put up another translation, NLT. Then the earth will yield its harvest. Let this earth yield its increase to you now. Put up Amplify Classic. Umbrote combrata cambrata ya. Ilada. Alefregede. The earth has yielded its harvest. In evidence of God's approval. And when God's approval is upon you, the earth will yield its harvest towards you. Let that be your testimony. Isaiah said unto them, if you are willing and obedient, that is, if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you shall eat the good of the land. I speak over you, the days have come to begin to eat the good of the land. Lift your voice and pray. Earth, yield your increase. 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 There is an increase of God upon everything you do. Pray. Earth, yield your increase. Earth, yield your increase. Pray. Earth, yield your increase. Earth, yield your increase. Earth, yield your increase. Ay. I want you to pray. The resources of this earth are responding to you. Everything on earth was designed to respond to you. Everything on earth was designed to respond to you. Everything on earth was designed to respond to you. There is the good of the land. There is the good of the land. There is the good of the land. I like you to pray wherever you are. You are eating the good of this land. You are eating the good of this land. This entire earth is responding to you. This entire earth is responding to you. The resources of this earth are responding to you. Earth. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Earth. Hear you the word of the Lord. All earth respond. I am an ego na shata. Shuna malataya. I like you to pray. You are not programmed to be small. You are not programmed to fail. You are not programmed not to succeed. You are programmed to break new grounds. For me to fail, God has to fail. Earth respond to me. He called those things that be not as though they were, and they come to be. That is your reality. Pray. Let the instrumentalists come on stage. Pray. Because my God cannot fail. Just keep praying, don't stop. I cannot fail. Because my God cannot fail. I cannot fail. Because my God cannot fail. I cannot fail. Because my God cannot fail. I cannot fail. Because my God cannot fail, I cannot fail. Sing. I cannot fail.
I cannot fail.
Yes.
I cannot fail.
Aya.
I cannot fail. I cannot fail.
Mind the distraction. Pray. The technical team are working on it, so you focus and pray. Take it and pray. Hallelujah. You know,
there's a scripture that says that the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. But you know, when you read, that is a good place to pray with. When you read the original, I think that's Isaiah, I think chapter 10, verse 27 or so. The original says, the yoke shall be broken because of fatness. That's the real rendering. If you look for that, have you found it? You will find it. Let me explain it to you. Because God is going to do you good. It's Isaiah 10:27, I'm right. Now, when you talk about yoke is those things they put around your neck to drag them. You know that stuff they put around your neck? Come, you get the point? You put on your neck to drag them around if you're a slave. He said, when that day comes, say your neck, you shall be so fat and increase that yoke will no longer be able to go around your neck. Put up Amplified Classic. It shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness, which prevents it from going round your neck. God can increase you so much that suffering can no longer survive in your life. That the things that used to afflict you before will now lack the capacity. I get what I'm saying. He said, so we use it to pray and not to break the yoke. Yes, but the real context is fatness. That you shall grow so fat that when they bring that yoke to wrap it around your neck again, it will no longer be able to stay. The Lord will increase you. I said, the Lord will increase you. I said, the Lord will increase you. You see, you shall eat the good of whatever land you are in. May Nigeria yield her increase to you. May this country yield her increase to you. In the name of Jesus, I bring an end to lack, to struggle, to stagnation in your life. In the name of Jesus, I command closed doors to begin to open up for you now. I command closed doors to begin to open up for you now. I declare multiplication of all that is in your hands now. Multiplication of all that is in your hands now. Anybody under whatever torment or oppression of the devil, I bring that oppression to an end now. In the name of Jesus. Anybody laboring under any form of curse, I bring that curse to an end now. In the name of Jesus. From now, the blessing is speaking over your life. From now, the blessing is speaking over your life. Whatever that was spoken over you that is not in alignment with Genesis 1 verse 26, I reverse it now. Whatever that was said to you that is not in accordance with God's original agenda for your life, it is reversed now. Failure is reversed now. Sickness is reversed now. Lack is reversed now. That which they called incurable is reversed now. That missing part of your body is found now. In the name of Jesus. Epo can devra tuleya. Frustration has ended in your life. You are at the point where you are frustrated. You think you've tried everything and it did not work. Under the God of my calling, I demand and I release my angels that work with this calling to bring that frustration to an end now. In the name of Jesus, let everything on earth begin to respond to you now. To turn this around in your favor. May human beings respond to you. May money respond to you. May life respond to you. May everything respond to you. In the name of Jesus. Earth. Declare this one's blessed. No death. You're trusting God for a baby. Listen, the Lord said to me recently, and I heard my pastor say that. He said he was talking to married people. He told them, do not wait until you stay 5 years and there is no child before you start praying for a child. So once you get married, even before marriage, start declaring for your own child. So I'm speaking to every married person or intending married people here. You will not struggle to conceive. The blessing of the Lord is resting upon you, and is making things easy for you now. In the name of Jesus, may the struggle come to an end. May every cycle of defeat be ended now. Everybody here that comes from a lineage where your father or your mother used to be very wealthy at a time, and suddenly everything disappeared. Hear me, that affliction shall not arise a second time. I heard that in the spirit now. I heard it. Everybody from that kind of lineage, your parents used to be rich, and suddenly everything went. So if you didn't even meet the wealth, you were told that at a time, a campre to levra kiada, affliction shall not arise a second time. He said, you shall be above only and not beneath. I speak over you, above only. Above only. The blessings of the Lord make it rich. It added no sorrow. No sorrow. I said, no sorrow. You shall increase. You shall increase. Psalm 67, verse 6. Verse 5 said, let the people praise the Lord. Kemakomprate kakaya. Suleman da shivraketaya. Let the people praise you. Turn away from their idols and give thanks to you, O God. Let all the people praise and give thanks to you. And in verse 6, when we praise and give him thanks, the earth has yielded his harvest. We are going to have some minutes of thanksgiving and rejoicing in this place. And as we are doing that, we are commanding the earth to have its harvest. We are commanding your business to produce its harvest. We are commanding your hand to begin to produce harvest. We are commanding your head to collect oil. We are commanding every closed door to open. Let the people praise the Lord, and the earth shall yield her increase. Listen, when Jesus had those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he wanted them to multiply. He lifted up and gave thanks. Let me teach you a principle in God's word. Any day you are walking by faith, you want to buy a property and it's not enough, 2 things I will encourage you to do. Number one, give from it. That guy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he gave it to Jesus. Number two, when you give, give thanks on it. Never have any little in your hand that you complain over it. I've lifted up 100k and giving thanks, and it tumbled to 2 million in a matter of days. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Real life story. I've gone past telling lies on stage. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have nothing to prove to you at this point. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can give thanks. People here under the sound of my voice, some have given, saving for something is not getting complete. Turn it over to God. Give a part of it as God will lead you. Give thanks over the rest. Oh, thank you, Father, for his son. Because he said, let the people praise the Lord. Then the earth. Put up message. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. Go back to verse 5. Verse 5. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. And in verse 6, earth, display your exuberance. You mark us with blessing, oh God, our God. And you are marked with a blessing. And may the Lord mark you with a blessing. Put your hand on your forehead. Say, I am marked with a blessing. I am marked with a blessing. You are glorious.
So glorious.
So glorious.
You are glorious, so glorious in your way.
Hallelujah.
Before I pray, look for the Passion Translation of this verse, then we'll pray. Then I will give thanks here. Now fill this place with thanksgiving. Then the earth will yield and increase. Are you ready for miracles? The earth will yield an increase to you. Your business will yield this increase. Passion, not YLT, TPT. Look at this. No wonder the people praise you. Let all the people praise you more. Verse 6. The harvest of the earth is here. God, the very God we worship, keeps us satisfied at his banquet of blessings. Do you hear me? Read the next verse. And the blessings keep coming. I am. Listen. The blessings will keep coming. Now, before I allow you to rejoice and we go, I'm not exciting you. I'm not entertaining you. I'm not wishing you well. I'm not hyping you up. If it is hype, then this meeting is useless. I'm putting the blessing upon you. Things will be different from now. Jobs will flow from now. Already on Thursday, some people already got jobs this Thursday. Jobs will begin to flow from now. Listen, there is no rich man on earth, no wealthy man that has one stream of income. I command multiple streams to open up to you. Rejoice in this place. That's how we're going to close tonight. Your result has fallen in place. Admission has come. Wealth has come. Lack has gone. Everything is turning. The next 1 month, avalanche of testimonies.
say it the way I heard it in my spirit. Of which or ego motu. It has now come. That's how I heard it in my spirit. Listen. By Zoe this year, some of you will drive yourself to Zoe this year. Let the earth yield and increase. Now hear this finally. Document all the testimonies. But you know, the greatest testimony I want you to go home with from this night is that you understood how this earth works. Never let anything keep you down again. Talk to this earth to respond to you. Listen, the curse is broken. The siege is frustrated. The victory is won. So, let there be all the that was holding you back. It's no more existing now. I get the point. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you. I say, may God bless you. May God fill your hands with so much. May the Lord make you 1,000 times more. May the Lord make you 1,000 times better. May the Lord increase you 10 times better than you are now. In the name of Jesus, may everything respond to you. That same God that called those things that be not as though they were and they come to be, may He begin to bring forth everything you expect in your life. By race of fact next year, every big expectation on your list would have been ticked off. All the things you're expecting, they're trusting God for a spouse, they're trusting God for lands, they're trusting God for jobs, they're trusting God for whatever, for healing, it is supplied now. In fact, as you are going from tonight, begin to record your own testimonies. Begin to record. There is a growth on your body that has just fallen off now. Someone walked into this place with movements all over his body. Those movements have ended now. I'm just saying the much I can say, because as the Lord is showing me. But just know that everything has turned. But the biggest thing that has happened to you is revelation. Now you know. Take charge of this earth. Message Bible of Genesis 1 said, take charge. When the Bible said, subdue the earth, it said, take charge. Amplified Classic said, use this earth's vast resources to serve God and man. Don't fail your God. Make money. Be rich. Increase. Enjoy the best of this world. Have the best of results. Secure your first class. Have the best. Listen, the best of this world should belong to you. Don't fail your God. Have your first class. Build houses. Own lands. Enjoy the best things of life. Run this earth for our God. And the biggest part of all of this is that we'll use it to serve our God. The people will rejoice. Oh, when the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were like they that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said the hidden, the Lord has done great things for them. This will be your story. It will be so evident that the hidden will say, the Lord has done great things for them. As you go home, let nothing steal your joy. Stay joyful. Better days are here. God bless you. Hallelujah. 8 o'clock tomorrow, we are meeting. Hear what you do for me tonight as you are returning back. Be joyful. Laugh a lot. Let nothing make you angry this night. Because the devil will come for your joy. Don't let him. Just day your day. Laugh some more. Get a rejoicing partner. Laugh with a person. Rejoice with a person. Everything is changing.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.